Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Roar Nation, I am so excited to announce a new thing that we are going to be launching in the next 30 to 45 days. We are coming up with an entire online e-course. Now, we are totally in beta right now, so what that means, we are in the process of making it, and we are looking for 15 to 20 people who want to be a part of finding their purpose and getting launched into what they're called to do. So let me tell you what this looks like. When we're finished with this course, we're going to be selling it for $297. If you join right now, you send an email to me, you get on the contact or the about me page and send me an email. We're going to take the first 20 people. So I highly recommend, if you're hearing this, I would jump on it if you have any interest. And let me tell you why. We're not selling it for the $297 to get started off. So if you log in now, send me an email, you will get the course for $97. And not just that, we are also going to do a bunch more stuff on top of this, only for the first 20 people. And let me tell you what that looks like. You're going to get lifetime access to the course. You're going to be part of a closed Facebook group that you'll never have to pay for. Down the road, we're going to be charging for this group. And also, you're going to get my book for free, Remodel Your Life. And you're also going to get my friend Rusty's book, who's producing the course, Entrepurpose book. We'll send both of those books to you digitally. Plus, you get the closed Facebook lifetime access. And then on top of that, kind of a caveat, you're going to get direct access to both Rusty and myself through 4 video calls. So you're going to get all this for $97. And as soon as we launch the course, it's going to go up to $297 and you won't get any of the other free stuff. So it's just for the first 20 people. So check it out. Get on there. If you have any interest, get on there. Let me know. We'll be sending some stuff out, get you guys plugged in, part of the group. You're going to find your purpose. We're going to help you with purpose statement, declaration statement, and stepping into everything that God has for you this year and for your life. So jump in and be a part of what we're doing. Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here, and I am ready to roar with my host. So for those of you who don't know, I was on a show. It's maybe been a couple weeks. We'll ask my guest. I'm not going to introduce him yet, but we'll ask him when it was. I can't even remember. I get too busy in life just like the rest of you. But I'm super excited because he's coming on my show. He's got a fun story, fun guy. So anyways, that being said, Matt, are you ready to roar, my friend?
You bet. Absolutely.
All right. So, Roar Nation, check this out. Matt is a super fun guy, and I'm going to read just a little bit about him, and then we'll jump into him. And this is what I love. If you go to his website, I'm just going to throw this out there now if you get a chance. It's 19 fun facts about Matt. I really enjoyed reading it. I actually found a lot of humor in it this morning. So, if you get a chance, I actually would recommend going on it, but I'm not going to give it to you right now because I want you to listen to the show and I don't want you to get sidetracked. So Matt's going to give it to you at the end of the show. But anyways, that being said, Matt Bruff, not bro, has been a pastor of Small Faithful Congregation, the Presbyterian Church, for over 13 years, and he's currently serving at Prairie Presbyterian Church in Winnipeg. He has served in a traditional context. He's been a church planner, been involved in youth and young adult ministry for many years. He is also the author of a series of fantasy adventure books for ages 8 and up. He lives in Winnipeg with his wife, Cheryl, and his daughter, Juliet. All right, Matt, did I miss anything, my friend?
Well, probably, yeah. I mean, you mentioned that you were on my podcast, so I'm also a podcaster, and yes. I really got to update it because it's now been over 15 years. I think I wrote that 2 years ago in ministry, and I've written a couple of other books as well since I wrote that little bio. So I've written a book called Let God Be God and a book called Let God Be Present. So working on some nonfiction books too.
Dude, you're a rock star, my friend.
Well, I don't know.
Hey, you're trying, dude. It's all about the journey.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so we read a little bit about your bio. You talked a little bit about, you just said something about Let God Be God, some other books you've written. Why don't you share a little bit more? I mean, obviously, I just hit a couple sentences about who you are, but tell me more about you, who you are, and what you do.
Yeah, sure. I think probably the biggest thing is my family. My family is most important, right after God. And I grew up in Winnipeg. I was actually born in England, but my family moved here when I was 2 years old. So I've lived most of my life in Winnipeg, in Canada, kind of the middle of the country. And my wife's from here, her family's from here. So we have lots of family, grandparents close by, and aunts and uncles, and that's just fantastic. So that's a big, big part of my life. Like, we see family constantly, which is just great. And then, like you said, I'm pastor of Prairie Presbyterian Church. So that's a huge, huge part of my life, is pastoring that church, a little church, just, you know, less than 80 people on a Sunday morning. But they are just great people, like just faithful people trying to figure out how to follow Jesus well and worship together, learn together, share community, and a growing multi-ethnic kind of congregation. We're close to a university, University of Manitoba, and have lots of international students that have been coming. So it's a real vibrant community, which has just been fantastic. And then the author stuff and podcasting, that's fairly recent for me. Just really in the last 3 or 4 years, getting into writing and self-publishing. So that's been a real big part of my journey in the last few years, is trying to see how this writing and ministry might go together. And initially, those were kind of separate things for me. I just started writing the fantasy books almost on a whim. And I can tell you more about that story, because I think that's kind of maybe an interesting story. But basically, started writing the fantasy books and was really, the motivation was trying to write something that I think my daughter would like to read, maybe when she was 9 or 10 years old. And I started when she was just turned 5. And I think I got the motivation right for that story, because I had a first draft in 3 months. Like, I just sat down and wrote the thing, and I surprised myself. So then when I self-published, you know, she couldn't actually read yet by the time I'd self-published the book. And yeah, so I was just kind of surprised, and I just didn't know how this fit in. I was just kind of doing this on the side. Like, at first didn't even tell anyone that I was writing, took a couple of months, or about a month, before I even told my wife that I'd started the book, and then told some family, and then eventually told the elders in my church, hey, I've kind of written this book, guys, and just didn't really know what I was doing. And eventually, I've seen now that these things have kind of come together, this writing and especially preaching as well, which is kind of one of my main things that I love to focus on, is preaching, that these things have kind of come together as sort of my main gifts, I think, writing and preaching kind of coming into the forefront of my ministry. And even starting the podcast, which has kind of come out of that a little bit, has really become part of the ministry that I'm doing. Even though I sort of started it on the side, like, it wasn't a church pod, like, it's a spirituality podcast, but it wasn't my congregation saying, yeah, we think there should be a podcast and it should be this. It was just me starting it with the blessing of the elders of our church. They just said, yeah, go for it, do it. So they're super supportive, but I've just found that ministry is happening because of these things. And, you know, people in my congregation or people outside my congregation, either finding a book or finding the podcast and just making connections with people. I'm just seeing that all these kinds of things are starting to kind of converge and come together, which is just so cool. And just, I did not expect that at all.
Man, you just hit on all kinds of good stuff, rabbit trails we could go down. I'm excited.
Sure.
That being said, let me ask you this, whether just for this season or kind of a life scripture for you, do you have like a quote or a scripture that's kind of been foundational for you?
Yeah, I think I would say two. I have two. There's one that's kind of been there with me probably since I was a teenager, that's really just guided, like, more around character. And then there's another one that's kind of just emerged in the last few years. But when I look back, it's kind of been there my whole life as well. So the first one is Philippians chapter 2, which really spoke to me when I was maybe 16 or 17 years old, and it's just stuck with me. And that's, it's kind of long, but the first part is, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to describe who Jesus is and what he did, like, using the idea of him emptying himself and becoming a servant and being obedient even to the point of death. And then God raising him up and seating him at the right hand of the Father. And so that's been kind of a key verse for me around what it means to be a follower of Jesus and what it means really to live life and how to live life well is to really be paying attention to the interests of other people. And I don't see this verse as, you know, just neglect yourself and just only be interested in others and just, you know, tear yourself down so that others can thrive. But it's sort of that check in just trying to walk in humility and valuing others as it's in a lot of ways more important than yourself. So that's kind of the first one.
Okay. I want to ask you about that scripture. Can you give me, I feel like anytime we apply scripture to our life, there's fruit. That honestly, this is biblical. Where have you seen, as you've applied that scripture to your life, do you have like whether a story or just something that like comes to your mind right now where you have seen because of applying that good things have happened or something specifically has happened?
Wow. Yeah, that's a big question. I don't know about like necessarily good things have happened because, again, I kind of feel like this is like a character building verse in a way.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to just see fruit in a short term sort of way. I think it's this long term building, but there is kind of a story that's, I mean, maybe sort of a negative thing for me, but
yeah,
I think this was back, like maybe I was around 20 or 19 and I had two really good friends and we went out for coffee or something like that, went out and they confronted me and said to me, Matt, you're behaving really arrogantly. And I was a real shy kid when I was growing up. I didn't speak. And I have two older sisters and I love them dearly. But often around the family supper table, like there was a lot of conversation and I would just stay quiet. And, you know, I just was super shy and super scared to speak out. And when I had some experiences in the life of the church where, you know, I started to learn that I had a voice and I could speak and I got involved in leadership in a youth program. And so I almost overcompensated for my shyness. Like I was almost full of myself. Like I have all these gifts and I'm able to, you know, do all this great stuff for God, do all this great stuff in the youth ministry. And I was always kind of pointing at myself. And these two friends called me out. And I mean, I was pretty immature, obviously, around 1920. And it kind of effectively ended those friendships. Like we were just never the same after that because I was just angry at them for confronting me. But that, in a lot of ways, them doing that solidified this verse in me that I was almost doing ministry so that I looked good in the church. And rather than doing ministry for the sake of the other people. Like I think in my heart of hearts, I was doing it because I wanted to see others thrive and benefit and come to know Christ and receive transformation and healing in their lives. And I think in my heart of hearts, I was doing that. But the way I was approaching it looked like pointing at myself all the time.
Yeah, I want to, man, love that you shared this story because this is good. I mean, this is raw and real. And
yeah.
I want to give you a lot of grace because, I mean, again, you said you're 19. So, I mean, you were a year ahead of me and I didn't get saved until I was 20 and I was terrible. So I went through a lot of stuff. But I want to ask you this, going back, because you talked about it kind of split your relationship. I am so thankful for friends who will take the time to sit down with me and just say, hey, you're acting like this or you're doing that because it's wrong. And I mean, I'm sure you can look back now and you see the benefit of it. How would you approach that differently now if somebody came to you, whether it was your elders or somebody in the church and just said, you know, hey, Matt, I see this. What would you do differently as far as handling it? Because that's hard. Honestly, all of us have pride. I don't care who you are. I mean, your first initial reaction is like, no, I don't. You do. Or whatever. You know, like, you know what I mean? You want to say something like that. That's your, or at least it is mine. But I always walk away and say, okay, Lord, if something's there, then reveal it to me because I probably need to change or they see something. So how would you approach that differently now?
You know, I think even back then in the moment, I think I was probably fairly gracious with them. Like I just kind of heard them out. There was no argument. Like I wasn't defensive to their face. I was just offensive in my heart. Like that's just kind of the personality I was like, I was just angry at them, but I didn't like spew anger on them. So I think in some ways the external in the moment would kind of be the same. I would just sort of listen. I might thank them for telling me. I'm not sure I did that. back then. But I think the real advantage I have now, if I'm totally honest, is now I'm married to this incredible woman. And, you know, I would be able to go home and I'd be able to check in with her and say, hey, this is the conversation that happened. And I think it's kind of a big deal. And I check in with her to say, like, are they even right? Like, is this on track, or are they off base? And I also have some other trusted friends who I'd then be able to check in with. And I think back then I just didn't have those same support structures. So I think I would for sure lean on the other people. I'd be less afraid to share that with others rather than just bottle it up. I think I just kind of bottled it up when I was 20 and didn't really know what to do with it. So I think like leaning on my support would be a huge difference today. So I like if listeners are out there, like having those support networks in place and having those people in place, that's so, so important to me. And setting those up or having those set up when you're in a good place, like if you're in crisis mode, it's super hard to set those up.
Yeah.
But having them in place and knowing when a crisis hits or when a difficulty hits, there's people that you can go and check in with. That's huge. That's just huge.
So as a pastor, you see that. I mean, how would you encourage our listeners, or what would you tell somebody in your congregation? Because sometimes that's hard, especially if you're kind of shy or you don't have that. Like, how would you recommend going about finding, whether it's a mentor or people you can go talk to, like whether it's through groups or something, like what would you recommend?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
And I know we're totally off script.
We are totally off script.
Which is
great.
Okay, good. I'm like, I hope it doesn't cause problems. But these are like real questions, because when I think about, mm-hmm. I mean, if it was me, I would tell people, obviously, get involved in, if you're youth, get involved in your youth group and your youth pastor. Sure. If you're an adult, find a place to start volunteering. Because some people, like, I don't have a problem making friends. Everywhere I go, I love people and I love their stories. Mm-hmm. So I chat with everybody. But not a lot of people are that way, and it's hard for people to connect sometimes. And
and
I think that's an issue, because you cannot go through life by yourself. You just can't. In Proverbs, it talks about, you know, a multitude sitting within a council, a group, is wisdom. And I'm totally hacking that scripture right now. So, but that being said, is there some things that you would tell our listeners?
I think actually, one of the things that I really think is important is to actually take some time to sit, reflect. Like, I would say almost everybody has some people in their lives that they might consider going to and saying, you know, I need help or whatever. So I would say, like, instead of just thinking, oh, I got nobody, I'm totally alone. Like, even when I felt times where I was totally alone, I actually wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, sit down and write down, you know, as many names as you can, or just pray and think, you know, who could I go to? But I actually think people miss a step. Like, they might come up with a name, but then they get afraid to go and talk to them. So something I actually did with our elders one time was looking at the people in our congregation and just saying, you know, who do you think you want to connect to? This is kind of a different thing. Just who do you want to reach out to? Who do you think might need some support or some compassion or whatever? And let's just think about the congregation and pick one person that you're going to connect with in the next month. But this could work for, you know, building a support network or whatever. Just think of one person or three people that you think could be helpful to you. And then once you've got those people, now think about a context where you would naturally have a conversation with them. And I think that's what we miss all the time, because then we just think, oh man, like, do I have to text this person, or do I have to phone them, or do I have to send them an email? Well, it depends on the person, right? So some people, the best way to be in touch with them is just to shoot them a text and just say, hey, I'm having a hard time. Can we get together? That's going to be fine. Others, you think, actually, it's a face-to-face conversation. And I know I see that person in standing in that place in the lobby of the church every single Sunday. So I'm just going to wait till Sunday and then I'll go over to them and have an in-person conversation, because this is an in-person thing. So I think that's an important step, especially for people who are shy. Like, I know for me, that was a huge, huge thing. It still is. Like, I have trouble connecting with people in unfamiliar places, but if I'm in a place where I feel comfortable, then I'm more likely to make a connection. So to think about the context where I'm going to have a conversation with someone to ask them, hey, I need help, or hey, I just wanted to chat with you, or do you have 10 minutes or whatever. I think thinking about the context is a huge help for people.
I love your advice. And there's two things I want to throw on top of that. that come to my mind is like, I have different mentors in my life that I reach out to. And one thing, like there's a guy that I do business with. He's just strictly business. I don't go to him for like spiritual advice or anything like that. But when we go, the guy's worth tens of millions of dollars. He's very wealthy, but I've never asked him, like he'll offer, or I'll say, hey, can we go do lunch? And we go to lunch and he'll go to pull out his wallet. I've never let the guy pay for me ever.
Nice.
Just for the simple fact, even if I didn't have the money, I would still find a way to pay for it. And the other thing is too, is I always make sure I'm on time. So to tell our listeners that, like, if you reach out to somebody who's like a mentor or who is willing to take the time to speak to you, respect their time and don't just because they have money or they have something, don't expect anything if they're willing just to sit down with you to give you some wisdom and advice.
Yeah.
And I think that's important because it would really, there's some youth, younger guys, I say youth or, you know, in their 20s and 30s that I mentor. And when we go out to lunch, I usually pay for it because they're in ministry and I want to help them.
Sure.
But I tell people that just to say, always be respectful of people's time and the circumstance, like you said, whether they want to text or call or whatever. Yep. It's so important.
I think too, like you can, it sort of depends on the relationship, right? Like if you're already basically friends with someone, kind of know what your goal is a little bit, especially when you're, I guess, struggling or having some difficulty that you need to check in with somebody. So you might have a friend that you know that they're probably not going to necessarily help you with the issue. You need more of a mentor. But maybe you go to that friend and say, I need help sorting this out because I want to go and figure this out with my mentor or with somebody else. But I don't even know quite what to ask them or how to approach that conversation. But when you go and meet with somebody, a mentor or somebody who you want to really value their time, like go prepared with like, these are the three things that I want to ask them. And don't like give them that respect that like I really value that as a pastor. If someone's come to me, sometimes it's just sort of like I know they're struggling and really it's just the presence, just sitting there with somebody and praying with them. And that's really important. But then there's other times where people come with really specific things. I need help with this, this and this. And I just love those conversations because someone has come really prepared and that's just so great.
Yeah, I did. Great advice. Okay, so a little bit, let's get on track.
Yeah, yeah.
I love what you talked about. Like, I feel like you're at a convergence, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you mentioned all of a sudden you're pastoring, you're writing and podcasting. So like all this is starting to come together. You're kind of in a place of convergence and it's all starting to cross. You don't totally know what that looks like, but it's happening. And that's like, for me, that's like really exciting. But I'm curious, how did you go about that? I mean, that's part of, I want to hear your story and your journey, because a lot of times people think, well, this is, what's my purpose or what am I supposed to do in life? And like they're looking for God to get an airplane or write with his finger across the sky or, you know, it shows up in my bowl of soup or a fortune cookie or whatever. It doesn't happen. So,
no,
it's just, I mean, some people have like these aha moments and they're like, God spoke to me and this is what I'm supposed to do. And that's great for them. But for the rest of us normal people, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, like this is awesome because I was going to share my other scripture verse, actually, because I think it's kind of funny. It's all over the Bible, really. But the one that I relate to is in Abraham's story, Genesis 12, verse 1. And it's really not the whole verse. It's just one word. It's just go. And, you know, or if you want to take Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission, go, you know. And the thing I love about Abraham's story is that it happens late in life. Like God doesn't start speaking to him until he's like, I don't know what, in his 80s or something. More 90. And he just says, go to the land, I'll show you. He goes, he sees the promised land, and then there's a famine and he doesn't get to stay there. And there's this crazy journey that he goes on. And, you know, later God then promises him the covenant, which again, isn't going to be fulfilled for generations. So like, it's always a journey. And so I love what you're saying about, you know, people look for purpose and maybe it's just going to be this lightning bolt. And for some, it totally is. But that's not for me. I'm way more like Abraham, sort of wandering around trying to figure things out. But actually, like a few years ago, I decided I needed to go and do a retreat, like just go away and just get away for a few days. And the main purpose was really to be praying about our church's direction, like what sort of is the vision for our congregation. And I went down to St. John's Abbey. It's a Catholic abbey and sort of monastery in Minnesota, and great place. And just spent I think, like 3 days pretty much in silence. I mean, other than sort of talking to myself. And then just started writing some things out, like just about our church. And it's funny, most of the things that I heard God telling me during that time about our church, like, I guess we followed through on a couple of those things, but that didn't end up being what those 3 days were about. Even though that's everything I walked away from, what that ended up being about for me, and it's going to sound really weird, but on the way down, I decided to load up my phone with a whole bunch of audio that I could find. And I didn't really listen to many podcasts at that point. I didn't really listen to audiobooks, but I thought, okay, I've got like a 6.5 hour drive. Like that's how far I was going and coming back. And I thought, okay, it'll be good to listen to stuff. And I stumbled onto Michael Hyatt's podcast. You probably know Michael Hyatt, and started listening to that. And I'd been really into productivity and kind of like how to be more productive in my life and trying to apply like getting things done to the life of ministry, which is actually kind of tricky to do, but trying to figure out how can I get more done. And Michael Hyatt was right on point with that kind of stuff at the time. So I just loved that podcast. It turned out that in my listening to Michael Hyatt's podcast, I got introduced, and then I just got hooked on it. Like then I just kept listening to it after that weekend away. And I started listening to, I think he had Jeff Goins on there as a guest, started listening to his podcast, which is The Portfolio Life. And then I think on my 39th birthday, I was in Calgary and I was speaking at a youth gathering that they were having there that invited me to come out. And I decided to spend a couple of extra days in Calgary, just kind of praying and having some time away again. And it was the next time I had done that since I had been sort of away. I think it had been a year and a half before actually the retreat where I started listening to Michael Hyatt. And on my 39th birthday, I listened to this episode of Jeff Goins' podcast, and he had these two guests, Jeff and Johnny from the self-publishing podcast. And they were hilarious. Like they were just funny. So I just thought, wow, these guys are hilarious. I'm going to go look up their podcast and start listening to them. Now, their podcast, I'm not necessarily recommending it. They are just like, it's like, you'll be offended if you listen to it.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah. Like if you want to go listen to it, great. But like there's F-bombs and there's jokes about Hitler. And like, so it's interesting, but they talk about self-publishing. And I kind of had this, like I'd always tried to write something, like I tried to write a play or tried to write a book or tried to do something, but it always, like I'd gotten maybe like a page and a half in, like I'd done nothing really and before I'd given up or just not done it. And I started listening to these guys and just got really motivated. I picked up their book, which is called Write, Publish, Repeat, and just loved the book, started listening to their podcast. And then that was when I started really thinking, hey, maybe I could write a book. And I started trying to write a science fiction novel because I really like science fiction. And it didn't really go anywhere. And I thought, okay, maybe not. And then I got this idea, maybe I should try to write something that my daughter would like to read. And I loved C.S. Lewis when I was growing up, loved Tolkien, and thought, oh, you know, maybe I'll try to write something like that. And that's where I got into writing this fantasy series, was coming through these different podcasts and just kind of thinking, oh, maybe I could try that. And then I found something that stuck. And then published that first book, started working on the next one. And then I took a sabbatical from my ministry for about 3 months. And that's really where all these things started to come together. Took a sabbatical, took a course on C.S. Lewis. I went to the Blue Ridge Mountains Christian Writers Conference just outside of Asheville and went to that. Went to the Festival of Homiletics about preaching. And my focus for my sabbatical was really writing and preaching, but I was still just seeing these as totally separate things for some reason. But over the course of the sabbatical and just praying through, you know, God, what do you want me to do next with all of this? It was just seeing, oh, these are really one thing. Like, this is my ministry. This is what I'm called to do. But it was really just starting, just going that pushed me on that journey. And even podcasting came out of that. I met somebody. I was actually a guest you've had on your podcast, Bethany Jett.
Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah. So I met her at the Blue Ridge Writers Conference. And I went to a workshop that she did on live streaming, like how to live stream on Facebook and on other platforms. And I just went because I had met Bethany earlier in the week. And I'm like, oh, she has lots of energy. That'll be fun. And I was kind of like exhausted. It was the end of the week. And I just thought, oh, I'll just go there because it'll be nice to listen to her talk. But she made everybody live stream. I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. But then we got talking afterwards. And I thought about podcasting because I just now love podcasts because I'd listened to all of these great shows. And she just encouraged me, said, why don't you try live streaming? And I did. And I loved it. And ended up kind of thinking, you know, I could do this. I don't know if I really love the video so much, but that pushed me to look at doing the audio, and then eventually came up with the idea for the podcast that I'm doing. And so that just, again, sort of solidified this all being part of the ministry. So I think like two things were going on there for me. One was this idea of just go, just, you know, if you feel like, ah, maybe I should try writing, just like go try it and stick with it. And have a system to support it. But the other one was the value in getting away.
I want to ask you this. Okay, so you said a system, and that sounds easy. Like if you were to tell my wife, hey, just come up with a system and do it, like she'd have one for you in like literally 30 seconds. You say come up with a system to me, and I'm like, well, okay, what does that look like?
Sure.
How would you describe for you, like when you felt like you were supposed to start writing? What systematic approach did you take to start writing that helped you maybe stay consistent or to step out as the scripture you, that you referenced to go?
Yep.
How did you do that? What did that look like?
Yeah, a couple of things. Probably the biggest thing, I read a book called Mini Habits, and that really, really helped me. But the basic summary of it is just set ridiculously small daily goals and then meet the goal every single day. So in the book example, I set my goal as I'm going to write 250 words a day, which for some people, maybe that sounds big. So set your goal at 100 words a day or 50 words a day or whatever it is. And then just try to keep your streak alive. And I created, like, I like spreadsheets. So I created a spreadsheet that would track like how many words a day I actually was writing.
Okay.
And so in 3 months, I had a first draft. And I think the first draft was like, it was over 50,000 words. And which is like a 200-page book about that. And I had written on average 750 words a day, because once you actually get started, there was some days where I really struggled to hit my 250 words. But then some days it's like you get started and you can't stop because it's like, oh, like the story's going. So I just pushed through, and I think I missed 3 days in 3 months.
That's impressive.
So part of it was getting the motivation, but also just I decided I'm going to write in the morning every morning. So I got up, I set my alarm for 5:30 in the morning and got up. Maybe that's not the best time for it. And I don't do that anymore. Like that, this isn't how I write anymore necessarily, but it is what got me into the mindset that I could actually finish the book. And I worked out, you know, if I actually did write 250 words a day, when would I be done? And just when I looked at that, I thought, whoa, I'm going to be done in 9 months. And I thought, oh my goodness, like, I had it as like, I better start now. My daughter's 5. I better start now if I want her to be able to read it by the time she's 10. I was thinking like a book's going to take me 5 years to write. And then when I worked it out on a word count basis, I was like, oh, actually, it's only going to take me 9 months for the first draft if I actually stick to it. So that was, for me, that was encouraging. And that was kind of the system I used, was like a word count system and just tracking it, like tracking the goal, basically.
Well, I love that. I love just practical stuff. And that's why I'm asking, because sometimes we spout stuff out there, and then I listen to other podcasts and I'm like, okay, well, that's great for you, but like, how does that apply to my life right now? Okay, I want to ask you this, Matt. Whether it's while you were writing the last couple months or just something in the past, can you take me on a quick story for just time's sake, but just kind of where maybe you hit like a low point, or even as I say, it can't get worse than this, where you were going through a really hard time and you just had to really just reach out to the Lord and say, God, what are you doing? And then obviously that totally shifted and you're able to look back and say, wow, God, you totally had this. Do you have a story?
Yeah, maybe.
I know it's kind of on the spot and it's big, but yeah. I mean, just something inspirational. Say, man, I just couldn't see through this. This was really hard, or I had to really press through, and then God just showed up.
Yeah, it's definitely not in the last couple of years, because I think the way that I've just been approaching things the last couple of years is just like, I don't know, God, like just what, like just use whatever. So I guess I have low expectations right now. Like, I don't know what God's going to do with all this. But previous to that, like church planting. So the church that I'm in right now was initially a church plant, and then we merged with another church. And, you know, we're a small church. But when I got into church planting, I thought, oh yeah, this is going to be awesome. We're going to, like, in Canada, lots of churches are small. Like, just like they're like, we have maybe one or two, maybe five big, like large churches over 1,000 people, like not even in the, like the huge category in our city. So it's not like I was expecting like thousands of people, but I was kind of expecting a couple of hundred. So in the first year, I thought, yeah, we'll be over 100 for sure, like on our way to 200 people. We've never been over that. And it's been like over 10 years with this church. And so for me, at some point, I started thinking at the church, like, wow, like that I've failed. Like we haven't grown. We're barely able to make our budget. And I'm the most expensive thing as the pastor in the budget. So I feel guilty about that, you know?
I'm just laughing because that's just mind stuff that we have to struggle through.
Yeah. Like, so I don't, like I'm saying, it's sort of a story. It's not like this major, like it's not like a big moral failure or something like that. But it's just like, man, this has just not gone the way that it's supposed to go. Like we were supposed to grow and be this amazing influence in the community, and what's going on here? And so I really did have to think and pray through that and just think about like, well, what are you doing, God? Like if we're not growing to be this big church, like what are we doing?
Yeah.
So for sure, I had to work through that.
Okay, so perfect timing. Obviously, I didn't know what you were going to say, and before we started, I would pray for people before we would start the podcast. And if I heard the Lord say something about them or for them, I would share it. I've done it on a lot of episodes. It's actually probably been months since I've done it. And I feel like that's just one of the gifts that God's given me. But can I share some stuff with you real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So when I was praying for you, Matt, and this is what I love because you just said this. It's going to hit on a couple of things, but I just heard the Lord say that Matt is a spiritual giant in his town. He has the authority that he carries in the spirit is very heavy and has a huge impact in the community that you're in, which is, so I say that to say this significance, obviously, that the Lord is saying that you don't see is huge, and that what you deem as small or did at that time, maybe not anymore, is actually you have a much greater impact than you think. And then two other things, I heard that the relationships that you have built and nurtured around you are very impactful and that you have influenced a lot of families. And the last one, which I thought was interesting, I don't know what you're working on, but I just heard the Lord say for you that your best book is to come, that you're going to get a download from heaven of an idea for a book that is completely out of the box for you. You're going to know that it's a God idea because it's not something that you would normally have thought of or would have written. And it's going to be written specifically for a generation.
Wow, John.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you don't know what I'm working on. That's good.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're going to say, but I just thought it was a perfect time out just to share those with you because you said a couple of things. So obviously it sounds like you have a huge impact, buddy.
Yeah, there's a couple of things. Like we're just trying to start to establish a bit of a church planting. It's almost like an incubator, like in the city, like with, like through the Presbyterian Church, but we'll work with anybody, like we'll work with any denomination or church or group. So it's kind of like a bit of a network. There's some other networks going on, so we're trying to add to that. So that might be another thing. Who knows what God's going to do through that, because I think that's so important. I think starting new churches is a big deal. And then the other thing about the book, like there was a book that I wrote, a short little book in this. It was supposed to be part of these Let God books, like God Be God, Let God Be Present. And I gave it to my editor, who's just fantastic. And she's so nice. Like she gave it back and she probably should have just said, Matt, like this book is no good. Like, but she just marked it up and she just, you know, told me like this is where you need to do the work, like this, like a good editor should. And I read through it all and I just went, nah, I got to start over. And that book has actually turned into what I'm working on right now, which is really about commission, like what it means to be a commissioned people, like what it means to go out. So I don't know, like maybe that's the book that you're hearing about.
Who knows, man? You got all I know is you got something good in you and I'm excited to hear about it.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to see what God does. But what I love about this is, like, I don't know, like, years ago, I would be somewhat stressed about all of that. Like I still have stress, obviously, but now it's just sort of, I don't know, when I approached this whole writing thing, I thought, well, you know, I'll get better at it. So I'll start writing. And when I've got books and I think they're good, I'll put them out. But I'm kind of expecting that, like, I started when I was 39, I put my first book out before I was 40. And I thought, hey, that's great. I got it out before I was 40 years old. Isn't that amazing? And I thought, wow, imagine how much better I'm going to be at this when I'm 50. And rather than thinking, oh, I have to be this big success because now I've got a book and I'm going to have it out there and it's going to sell and all these people are going to read it. Like, I tried to avoid that mindset and just think, I love doing this. And now, a few years in, I can see it's not just that I love doing it, but also that God is doing something through it. And now I get to watch and see, well, what is it that God's going to do as I start to improve and get better at these gifts that God's given?
Well, I'm excited for you. So, and I'm just laughing because you're talking about that and just doing stuff. And I'm writing ideas down for myself for book ideas. And I'm like, man, that's good. And anyway, so you're inspirational, man. I appreciate it.
Well, John, I love talking to you about it. It's fun.
Okay, so we're going to skip a lot of questions because for the sake of time and different things, but I do want to ask you a couple more.
Yep.
And one of those is that I never skip is, Matt, if you could go back to the younger you, what would you tell yourself? What advice would you give yourself for the future you? And also, what age would you go back to that you're going to give yourself the advice?
Yeah, I know you asked this question because I listened to your show. So yeah, I would probably go back to somewhere in my early 20s, I would think. And at first I thought I would say, don't be afraid. But I actually think I would say, fear is normal and have courage. Like, face your fear and work through it because you're going to be afraid, but work through it.
Man, I love that. I can't even tell you how many times the Lord has spoken to me, specifically the scripture that Moses got, and then it's in Joshua and it's other places too, but he said, be strong and courageous.
Oh yeah.
And you know, God never said, you know, I don't want to say never, and I could be wrong, but it's not like he said, you know, don't have fear. We're going to have fear. He knows how we are. Like, there's things we're just going to go through that we're going to struggle, but he did say, yeah, be strong and courageous. And yeah, it's okay to have fear. Just push through.
Yeah. And my feeling in the scriptures where an angel shows up and says, fear not, or do not be afraid, I think that's a word of comfort from God for people when they are afraid. Like, that's not saying, oh, you're wrong in being afraid and you shouldn't be that way. It's just God saying, look, I'm here with you. You don't need to be afraid because look what I'm doing. Like the angel announcements at Christmas, do not be afraid because look, a savior is born. So I don't think it's ever God saying, you know, don't be afraid. Like, I love that Joshua verse too, the have courage.
I'm laughing at your examples for the angels because I'm just thinking, in all honesty, and if this offends anybody, I'm sorry. But if an angel shows up in my room, I'd be like, holy crap, are you serious?
Oh yeah, you'd be
right
terrified.
Now, like, I would be freaked out because this thing is supernatural. I know it's not real and it's in my house or wherever I'm at. I'd be like, wow. So I'm thinking that the angel would say, like, hey, don't be afraid. It's okay. Because right. I'd have to go change my underwear after he left. And I'm just being honest, right? So I think that's what I'm thinking of when something angelic shows up in my space. So, okay, Matt, I love your stories, dude. And I love that we just went on a lot of different things, actually, that I wasn't expecting. And talking about your gifts and just how they intertwined with your writing and starting to podcasting. Because like you use the scripture, obviously you have just gone. You just went like Abraham and said, okay, I'm just going to do it. And whatever happens, happens. But we're just going to see what happens. And I love that. But I want to ask you this as we wrap up the show. What piece of parting advice would you give to the audience with everything that we've just talked about?
Yeah, I think I would say take a step back and listen to what God is saying. So, like, for me, one of the themes over the last few years has been getting away, going on a retreat. So if that's possible, listen to what God is saying. Look at what the Spirit is already doing. And hear, if you're going to hear anything, hear first about God's love and don't think that that is incidental. Like, I think lots of people are looking for like quick fixes, ways to get ahead or a way to do better and improve. And that's all great. But I think one of our big problems is we tend to measure ourselves and take our worth from our activity or our productivity, or worse, we'll measure ourselves against the perceived life that someone else has instead of resting in God's love. And like there's real danger in that, because if you fail, then it's, I'm a failure. Oh no, like I'm a terrible person. But also if you succeed, then it's, oh, look how awesome I am. I'm so great. So I think taking a step back, listen to what God is saying, and rest in God's grace and in God's love is so, so important.
Man, I'm telling you right now, if nobody catches anything the entire show and we just like do the whole show of what you just said right now and that was it, it would be worth listening to. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. That's powerful. I mean, if people would grasp those two things, they're life changing, especially understanding how much the Father loves us. And then from there, just resting in who He is and how He made us.
Absolutely.
So, okay, I'm really excited. We're at the beginning of the show. I told people that you had 9 fun facts about Matt that I got a total kick out of. It actually kind of set the humor for me going into the show, because I thought, this is really funny. I need to do this myself. So I'm going to steal it at some point. And then, hey, side note, from a marketing standpoint, your book, I'm on your website right now, which you're about to announce. Mm-hmm. You got The Crystal Seed, and then you got Rescue, what is it?
Rescue of Eleanor. Those are the 2 fantasy books.
I see your next book being in yellow.
Okay.
Just saying. Not like a mustard yellow, but I see it, like the bright yellow. I love the green and then the blue and red or yellow, but I saw yellow. So anyway,
it's going to be red, but there's going to be 4 books, so maybe it's going to be blue.
Oh, dude,
so
red and then yellow. Man, see, I'm prophetically seeing it as we're speaking, my friend. Okay. So, okay. Matt, that being said, for our listeners, I want them to come buy your books, check out what you're doing. How do we find you and how do we get a hold of you?
Actually, can I tell your listeners about one other thing? Because I'm doing a giveaway, actually.
Well, give it away, my friend. I want something. Give it.
Well,
what do you got?
So it's contest. But so if people go to spiritualityforordinarypeople.com/giveaway,
okay,
then they will find it. So it'll be up soon. Like it'll be up by the time this is out. It's not up there right now, but it'll be up by the time this is out.
Okay.
And what I'm doing is I compiled a whole bunch of the books. I think it's like 24 or 25 books of guests that I've had on my podcast. And you can enter and the winner will get all 24, 25 books.
Dang. Why don't you split it up? Hey, just an idea. I mean, I love marketing stuff. Just an idea. Okay. And I don't want to ruin it for anybody. Why don't you have like 3 or 4 winners and split up? Because 24 books would take me a long time to read, but each person could get maybe like 4 or 5 books, and then you could have multiple winners for those of us who don't win stuff very often, then I have a better chance of winning. Just an idea, not telling you what to do, but just a thought.
It's an idea. I think I'm going to stick with win at all.
Okay.
I like an all-in kind of win.
Okay.
And that way, you know, if you can't make it through all of them, and I have really diverse books too, like I've got fiction and I've got kids books, but I've got some really great theological books too, because I've interviewed really diverse guests. So it's a really interesting grab bag of books, but there might be things in there like, I don't care about kids books. So you know what? Give them away to a kid. Like,
yes. Okay.
Here you go. Free present for you. And then you get to gift that to somebody else. Or if you don't want to read the theology and you love fiction, then give away the theology to somebody. But yeah, really different viewpoints as well. So you're going to hear from people that you won't necessarily always hear from. But yeah, spiritualityforordinarypeople.com/giveaway. And if you sign up for it, you're automatically, like, you'll get emails from me. If you don't want the emails from me, then just unsubscribe after the fact.
No, man, we want to hear what you got. So, okay. And then tell where also about you. You have 2 websites. So what's the other
one? So the other one is just mattbruff.com.
And just so the listeners know, Bruff is B-R-O-U-G-H. Because I got excited. I thought I was going to be like, hey, Matt, bro. Hey, bro. And that was part of your 19 facts that you talk about. And I started laughing when I read it.
Pronounce it. Absolutely. So it's probably easier to remember the other one is because it's sort of just words, spiritualityforordinarypeople.com. And people can find me on Facebook or Instagram, on Twitter too, but I'm not as active there. I'm most active on Instagram.
Okay. Awesome, Matt. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, your books, and kind of how you got into your gifts and all that. So I just want to honor you and just tell you I think you're doing great things. And from what it sounds like, the Lord's about to do some huge things in your life. So we are excited. But hold on just a minute, Matt, as we wrap up the show. Roar Nation, thank you guys so much. I hope you really grabbed some stuff out of this as far as going after purpose. If I was to wrap it up, I would literally say go. And as Matt says, and just go after whatever you think God might have for you. Spend some time with the Lord and just hear what he has for you. He's got purpose and he's got love for you. So I'm excited. Remember to get on our Facebook page. We just created a closed community group. You can get on there. We're about to create a course on purpose and discovering you. So if you join our closed group, you will have first access to that and also some free stuff inside of there as well. So love you guys and gals. It's been fun. Remember, be real, be authentic, be you. And don't forget to check out the five other hosts a week. Peace.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to rureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.